Welcome to the Believe Podcast, a conversation between friends over a passage of scripture. My name is Carolyn Kirsten.
And I am Marvin Williams.
Hello, Marvin.
What's up, Carolyn? How are you?
I am well. Today, We get a two for one.
We're
covering John chapter 4, verse 43 through 5, verse 15. So we've got two healings.
Two healing stories, and these are two, again, in my estimation, two amazing stories. Well, the Bible is always amazing, but these are really, really two great stories. So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So have you ever been ill and recovered?
Yes. Okay. Over and over.
Okay, over.
Over the years, a lot of times.
Over and over. So, okay, let me ask another question. Have you been ill and recovered, and the only explanation is that God heard your prayer for healing and he answered, either you or you know of someone?
Okay, so the first time I remember God answering a prayer was in a situation like that. It wasn't an illness, but it was more of an injury.
Okay.
My brother was in a snowmobile accident with a family friend, and the family friend is the one who was very critically hit his head, had to have brain surgery, and it was going to, I mean, all the doctors said, catastrophic results. Like, we're going to do this surgery, but there will be long-term effects. And we prayed about that as a family, and our friend was totally healed.
Yeah.
And I still remember, I mean, I was probably 12, and I was like, whoa, God does answer prayer. that is like a marker in my spiritual life. That was an example of that.
Yeah, it's amazing to, you know, to hear those stories, and even more amazing when we are a part of those kinds of stories.
Yeah.
And I have a long list, whether it's Marvin Jr. dealing with amblyopia or Micah having fractures in his neck, and healing, recovering sooner than the doctors had anticipated.
Yeah.
So these are, again, I think they help to build our faith when we hear stories like that. Part of the reason we're talking about that, because we have two healing stories today where Jesus actually healed a little boy, and then he healed a man that was lame for 38 years. And so we believe that God still heals, and these stories kind of help to prove that to us. So what do you, when you look at these stories, or at least the first story, the little boy, what are some things that stand out to you?
Well, as a parent, I totally get that father's desperation. Like, we see that in verse 47, where in my version, it says, you know, he went to him and pleaded with him to come down and heal his son. Like, this is a dad that has done all the things. Like, in our modern day, they would have gone to specialists. They've, you know, tried the medicines. They've tried the homeopathic, you know, I just kind of picture that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is desperate because he even comes from another town, right? Like, he heard Jesus was coming, so he goes to him.
Travels 14 miles. If we had the maps up right now, we can, those who are listening, you can imagine the map. It's like 14 miles from where the man is to where Jesus is. And so this man is truly, truly desperate for his little boy to get better.
Yeah, I can totally connect with that. And then I think this is interesting, that the official believed Jesus without seeing the miracle.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus says, yep, it says in verse 50, Jesus says, go, your son will live. And the man believed what Jesus said to him and departed.
Yeah.
And even without, I don't know, like, any really assurance besides Jesus' words, he believes. I think that's pretty incredible. We use that phrase, stepping out in faith.
Yeah.
And he literally,
sight unseen,
stepped out in faith, went back home believing that what he'd asked for was going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's incredible that you know, the point that you made is that he believed without seeing. He wanted Jesus to come, to walk the 14 miles, to come back home, to be in the same room with his son. Jesus did not have to be present in the room for that kind of healing to take place. And one of the things that kind of stands out to me, talking about when you mentioned the desperation of the father, this is crisis faith. Now, the interesting thing is that crisis faith is still faith. So crisis faith, the definition would be, I'm only calling on Jesus in a crisis. Mm-hmm. We've seen that. We've probably been a part of that ourselves. And yet, crisis faith is still faith. And Jesus honors that faith. And so even for listeners right now, don't feel there's no guilt here. There's no condemnation. There's no shame. If you say, I am in a desperate situation like this father, it's okay to call on Jesus. And even if you haven't called on him up to this point, mm-hmm. the fact that you call, you're calling on him now, you're saying like, you know, I am beyond my own strength and I need someone to step in and intervene and work a miracle. Crisis faith is still faith. And I think that's, I think Jesus honors that.
And then what I love is that we see this really is the first step of his, this father's belief.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about believing in this whole podcast series. And so in verse 50, it says the man believed what Jesus said to him. And then in 53, when a servant comes and says, hey, he realizes, oh my word, the very moment when Jesus spoke those words, your son will live, was when he started getting better. It says, so he himself believed along with his whole household. So he believed initially, but then we have another kind of layer of belief. And I think is that crisis faith, he believed in that moment. And then he had that next experience with Jesus. And he himself believed. Like I don't know Greek or anything, but I feel like there's significance in that. Like we hate that same word though. It is a deeper experience with Christ, a deeper belief that he has there.
I love that. And this is one of the cool parts about following Jesus. No matter where you are on the continuum, you can always go deeper in your faith.
Yeah.
So even if you start off with crisis faith, there's this sense like the next step is what does my confident faith look like? It is believing without seeing. It is trusting Jesus at his word. And the interesting thing is when you have faith, I'm saying for you, Carolyn, and I see it and I see the sight unseen kind of, it becomes kind of contagious. And like, man, if Carolyn can believe like that, I think maybe I can believe like that as well. And I love the fact that this father comes home and I would imagine, you know, hey, let's sit down for dinner. I want to tell you why little Johnny or Jeremiah, whatever his name was, mm-hmm. why he was healed. And it was because this man named Jesus, he just spoke. And there was something in me, it awakened something in me to actually believe in that moment. Like that belief was part of the reason why my son, a belief in Jesus as Messiah, was healed. And so I love the fact that there are layers to this man's faith. Starts off at crisis. He becomes a little bit more confident to the point where he has a contagious kind of faith and his entire household believed. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is super cool. Okay, let's move on to the next healing, picking up in chapter 5.
Yep.
What stood out to you from that one?
Yeah, so when you look at this story, this is a man who's been lame for 38 years. And the life expectancy during that time was 38 years. So this man has been sick a long, long time, a lifetime.
Yeah.
And I love the text when it says Jesus saw him. So among all of the sick people there, among all of the paralyzed people there, Jesus saw him.
Yep.
And I love the fact that I am not unseen by the God of the universe. Out of all the people in the world, out of all the people who are going through some things, God looks and he sees Marvin Williams. He sees Carolyn Kirsten, which is encouraging to me that that we have a God who actually sees us. Mm-hmm. And if someone who's listening right now, you feel like you're all alone and you're not seen by God, this story helps us to realize that we are seen by the one who is in control of the whole world.
Yeah, and he sees us and he knows our pain. I mean, even that phrase that Jesus realized he'd been there a long time. Like, he sees him, he recognizes his situation, he sees his pain, the trouble that he's in, like that. And that's true for us too. We can know, he knows our specific situation on our great days and on our struggling days and the ongoing challenge. He sees us and he knows us.
Love it. Now the interesting thing about this passage is Jesus asks a pretty weird question. Mm-hmm. Man has been lame for 38 years, and Jesus comes up to him and says, do you want to get better? And it's like you almost want to say, duh,
right.
Like, why do you think I'm sitting here all day? Of course I want to get better. Why do you think Jesus would ask a question like that? Almost like a no-brainer kind of question.
Mm-hmm. And I think Jesus asks questions like this a lot, and it's not because he doesn't know the answer. So then I think, okay, so then it's for the person.
Yeah.
Which, in this case, it makes me think he really wants this man to reflect and recognize his true feelings and what he's going through. Like, if he has, this is just how it's always been, you know, that's just his situation, that's out of control, nothing's changing, nothing's different. That question makes him stop and actually, what do I want?
Sure, sure.
And I think that's super important for us to do that in the day-to-day life. Like, it's easy to just grind. And we don't even think about why we're doing what we're doing, how we feel about their situations. We might just push, or we might just pull in. Like, I think both of those things can be responses,
whether we're
driving through it or pulling out of things. And so that's why that actually is a good question.
Yeah.
Do you want to get well? Like, think about your situation and what is your deepest desire?
Yeah.
God cares about that.
Yeah. Kind of drafting off that a little bit is, you know, when we are sick or with chronic illness and chronic pain, we think that this is all there is. Mm. And I think sometimes we get used to this particular state of being. And we've gotten comfortable in those spots. And I think Jesus comes along and asks the man, hey, I think I'm asking you, you know, deep down, do you really want to get better? Or are you content with where you are? And again, and that's not to say that, you know, Jesus is going to heal every single ailment, but I think it's a good question to shake us out of our comfort zone and to say, no, I really want this. I don't want to live like this any longer. I actually want to get better and to experience a sense of wholeness, not just physical healing, mm-hmm. but even in other areas as well. So I think it's a penetrating question. It's a question that gets at our desire. And I love love what you said, that what is our real desire?
Yeah.
And Jesus asks these kinds of questions to help us to get at that.
Yeah. Now, well, the heading in my Bible tells me that these two healings are the second sign and the third sign.
Okay.
Which we can remember back at the very beginning, we talked about the purpose of John's writing this gospel was to describe these signs so that we would believe that Jesus is God's son.
Yep.
The first sign was turning the water into wine at Cana.
Yep.
Now we've got the healing of this official's son and the healing of the man by the pool of Bethesda. So I think let's talk just a little bit about those two healings together. And I mean, even how John put them right back to back. I don't know if they happened one day after the next.
Yep.
After this, a Jewish festival took place. I mean, there's probably some time there.
Yeah.
So just thinking of the two together, comparing and contrasting them, a little English teacher coming out. What were some things that stood out to you with that?
There are a couple of similarities and even a contrast. The first one is that both of them, Jesus heals without ever, just with his word.
Yeah.
He doesn't touch them. He doesn't do some sort of incantation as some of the Jewish people would hope that he would do. That was just a part of the culture then. He does none of that. His authoritative word says, he tells the father, your son will live. That was it. And he tells the man who was lame for 38 years, take up your mat and walk. Just his words. and the power and the authority of Jesus' words to heal. With touching, elders touching individuals and praying over them is great, but sometimes all it takes is believing Jesus' word. So that was one of the things that stood out to me. Mm-hmm. The other is that that for the father, he actually took time to investigate. He said, like, what time did my son begin to recover? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, about this time. And then he remembered that it was at that moment Jesus gave, Jesus spoke the word over his son. With the man who was lame, he didn't even know, he didn't investigate. He just took the healing and kind of ran.
Went on his
way. Yeah, kind of ran with it, and no pun intended, he was able to walk and run. And so those are two contrasts that Jesus, or at least the similarities, Jesus spoke a word and healed. One took time to investigate, and the other did not. So those are two things that stood out to me. What about you?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. The first one, it's a father coming on behalf of his child. Hmm. So it was a healing where the person who is asking, it's on behalf of another, which we do that all the time. Pray for those that we know who are ill or in need of healing. And then in the second case, it's the person themselves is right there and receives the healing. So just examples of, both types on behalf of another, the actual person right there. I think it's also interesting that in both instances, it required a stepping out.
Yeah.
Like the father had to head home without knowing if anything had happened. And for the man by the pool, he had not been able to walk for 38 years. And Jesus says, get up. Like, that is not something he probably had even attempted for decades, maybe. Yeah. And so he, too, had to step out in faith and do something he'd probably given up on years and years and years ago.
Yeah, I can only imagine what those first steps were like. Like, I bet he... So when I broke my ankle and was in a cast, and when they took the cast off... And I took my first step. I was so afraid that it wasn't going to put weight on it. And it's not going to work. And so the fear and the anxiety that I had, the steps were so ginger for me. And so I would imagine that that man felt kind of the same way until, he felt like, man, I can walk. And so I love that. So one question before we wrap this up.
Okay.
And it's about... And it's about healing. At verse 14, Jesus says, hey, listen, stop sinning lest a worse thing come upon you, which kind of suggests that the man's personal sin caused his illness. Now, so what do you think about sin and sickness and sickness and sin? What do we say about that? What do we think Scripture says about that?
Yeah, for sure there's a relationship, but it's not. I shouldn't use a math term, but one to one relationship. it is in the sense. Well, illness is a consequence of sin, of our sinful nature and our fallen world.
Absolutely.
So in that sense, yes, illness is a consequence of sin. It might be in response to our physical or our a decision on our part, a sinful action on our part, but not clearly, not always.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in the general sense, yes, our fallen world, illness, all of those things are a result of sin.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right, and that is the ache in us, right? When Jesus comes back, that those kinds of things will be taken care of. But in the meantime, we get to actually pray for illness. We get to pray for healing for people who are ill and who are sick. We elders, the Bible says, we get to lay hands on people, anointing them with oil and asking God to supernaturally and immediately heal. Sometimes God does it instantaneously, and there are other times where God does it gradually and over a period of time. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, we have a God. One of his names in the Bible is Jehovah Rapha, and it just simply means the God who heals. And just like these two stories, we get to ask Jesus to show signs of power through healing over people who were ill. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, in that, when we always wrap up by saying, what can we believe about God and ourselves from this passage? That clearly is one of those things, that God is a healer.
Yeah.
He heals us physically. He heals our minds. He heals our emotions. Or other things. What else can we believe about God or others?
I think that we can believe that even when we hoard God's healing and God's blessings, like the man who was lame for 38 years, Jesus comes and he finds him. Mm-hmm. The man didn't know who Jesus was. I mean, you would be mildly curious if you've been lame for 38
Seems
years.
Like
exactly. But Jesus goes to find him and calls him to a deeper discipleship. And I think for me, there are days where I take God's blessings and I run with them. And when the blessings are always pointing to the one who calls us to a deeper discipleship. And so, yes, God heals, but even in the healing, it's pointing us to something deeper so that we might follow Jesus a little bit better. And so these healings are signs for us to go deeper with the one who loves us best. So those are things for me.
That's great. So friends, thanks for listening. Share the podcast with someone else. Subscribe, give a rating and review, and have your own spiritual conversations.